Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Hey, thank you. Welcome back on board On the Mark. It's a beautiful day in the valley. If you'd like a little bit of rain and possibly a touch of sleet, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. When we open up the phone lines, our hotline number will be 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but put OTM at the start of your message. We're delighted to have on the phone at the moment Pamela Falk, who is the CBS News correspondent based at the United Nations, where she reports on air for CBS News, TV, and radio, and writes for WCBSNews.com. She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a former staff director for the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Affairs of the House of Representatives, and president of the UN Correspondents Association in 2014. She has worked in government, law, academics, and the press. She got her law degree from Columbia University School of Law and her PhD from New York University. Pamela, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Introduction. Great to be here.
You know, we've talked a lot in this program about the United Nations, and I think we've come a long way, and I don't know in a good direction, from the days when Adlai Stevenson was watching Khrushchev pound his shoe on the table and saying, don't wait for the translation. How effective...
Right. I have Adlai Stevenson on my booth at the UN... At UN headquarters, I agree.
You know, so how effective is the United Nations in a crisis like we have now in both the Ukraine and in the Gaza Strip?
Well, let's start with Gaza. The UN is vital. It is getting a lot of flack from every side, and that's because they're the ones there. I mean, Gaza is pretty much destroyed, and... as they try to get, as the Israelis try to get the leadership, the military equipment of Hamas, it's more and more almost uninhabitable. And it was 20 years ago. I mean, it's only gotten worse. And part of what Israel has to deal with is their right to self-defense. And of course, the first and foremost is getting the hostages out. And a deal people can practically taste the deal. It's very, very close. We'll get back to that. But the UN are the ones, all the agencies, that are getting all the aid to the Palestinians, and particularly to the innocent Palestinians, children, families. And they're not Hamas. And Israel has always said they're not at war with the Palestinians. They're at war with Hamas. And so... the UN is trying to get the aid in there. They've got about 13,000 employees of the main agency in Gaza, and what they're trying to do is the water, the fuel, everything else into Gaza as the Israelis try to both get their hostages out and get the threat away. The UN's been vital. Now, the Secretary General's made a few missteps, sort of saying, look, you know, it's terrible what happened to by Hamas, but you have to put it in a context, and people felt like, wait a minute, why are you saying it that way? But generally speaking, the UN is not capable, it seems, of doing what it was supposed to do, as you say, Joe, in 1945 when it was founded, to stop wars. What it is capable of doing is getting a lot of relief in, and they've been vital on that front.
Well, it's almost like the League of Nations number 2 or 201 or 101, whatever.
Yeah, there's some of that. And then just on Ukraine, the UN has tried but failed because of the structure of the Security Council. Russia vetoes everything. So that one is going to be decided on the ground.
Is there, well, I mean, I guess there's no way that people can actually decide these issues fairly and in a vacuum, since everybody has their allies, their client states, their friends. But Hamas has not been declared by the UN as a terrorist organization. Is that a problem?
It is a problem in the sense that, I mean, Hamas developed into this terrorist organization, and it always had that peace, but it also is the de facto government. So part of the issue is getting Hamas that going forward, and the UN and the Secretary General in particular have acknowledged this, that Hamas can no longer be the government of Gaza. In other words, anything moving around, your garbage collection, everything else in a normal government, if there's a post-war period, one would hope, there has to be a governance. And the Palestinian Authority that governs the West Bank was kicked out in an election, and then militarily. And so it's very isolated. So when you hear from Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, you think they're talking about this conflict, but they're as removed from it as anyone, because they are governing in the West Bank. And so they really, and since different wars have taken place, West Bank and Gaza, which is the West Bank of the Jordan River, and Gaza is all the way over on the water, they're not connected. And so the idea here would be, at least the Secretary General feels and others feel, to put the Palestinian and the U.S. feels. It's just right now Israel doesn't know, isn't dealing with a post-war period. But the Secretary General said put the Palestinian Authority in charge of Gaza and you'll have a group that you can deal with. I mean, what is Hamas? Hamas is a terrorist organization. How can you even have a ceasefire with them?
Well, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Sunday called again for a humanitarian ceasefire. Right. And I guess that doesn't play well with the Israelis at the moment. They've agreed to what? A series of small pauses.
Right.
Other than that, what can the United Nations or the Security Council do to impose its will in this situation?
Anything? Well, you're asking the right questions, Joe, but no one has the answers. I mean, the Security Council is pretty paralyzed. Now, they did pass, they got Hamas should free the hostages into it, and passed a resolution calling for humanitarian pauses. So in that way, the five permanent members of the Security Council, which are the five major powers in the world, U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China, all agreed with the other members of the council to go into humanitarian pauses. But in this situation, it's very hard to enforce anything. Now, what we're seeing in the headline today is that this deal to release hostages and have a ceasefire is imminent, and the deal would be between Israel and Hamas to free dozens of hostages and get a multi-day ceasefire. And it seems to be that the first phase of two phases is 50 Israeli women and children are released and 150 Palestinian prisoners. And Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is going to the cabinet to talk about this today at 6 p.m. Israeli time. And so I think it's pretty close. If people feel like they can make this deal, they start to release hostages, because people are starting to believe that maybe many of the hostages died in the removal from Israel. Some of them were wounded, some of them need medicine, the babies, who knows how they've been taken care of.
I'm curious, you know, Hamas, when they went in, they did some pretty terrible things. They launched a lot of rockets at Israel. Is there any feeling at the United Nations of what their end game was? I mean, they had to expect that Israel would retaliate massively.
Oh, in terms of what did the UN expected Israel to do after the October 7th attack? Yes, of course. And one of the manuals found, you know, they're finding all sorts of things and showing them on video. I mean, you can see the videos of the tunnels, and they did not find a major military coordination center under the Al-Shifa hospital, but they found all sorts of tunnel exits, and they showed Israeli hostages being taken into them under the hospital. But all of that said, the real issue is what do you do about this next? And the idea of the UN would be to help broker this deal. And then the part of the deal is to get the aid in, and then 300 aid trucks would go into Gaza from Egypt as part of the deal. And what are the aid trucks? The aid trucks are UNICEF, you know, Trick or Treat for UNICEF, World Food Program, World Health Organization, medicines. And so the UN is vital to making this deal happen, where the Israeli hostages are released and Palestinian in Israeli prisons are released, but mainly to get the hostages out that were taken so brutally.
Well, we're talking to Pamela Falk, who is the CBS correspondent at the United Nations. She has a lot of experience and heads, or did head, the United Nations Correspondents Association. So let me ask you this question. We hear a lot about the two-nation settlement. Is there anything at the United Nations that's trying to advance that, and any idea what it would look like?
Yeah, this has been, you know, it's been decades trying to get this done. The idea would be that that some government other than Hamas would govern the Palestinian territories, which include the West Bank and Gaza, and they would have their own separate state. Right now it's under occupation, and Israel needs, as it says, and the U.S. agrees with this, some kind of transition period after this heated conflict to make sure that they're not attacked from Gaza. And so I think any of the plans that have been in the past for two-state solution would will take a little while, Joe. I mean, that's part of the issue, is they're going to be after a transition in which there's a lot of military supervision of what's going on. I mean, Hamas has lobbed over 6,000 missiles in a day toward Israel, and none of that even provoked Israel as much as of obviously the death and destruction and raping and pillage that they did on October 7th, and that's part of what they did. And the manual that they found as they've gone through all this stuff, as the IDF, the Israeli military, has come into Gaza, was a manual that said not only do this kind of attack where, I mean, just horrific war crimes took place with decapitations and everything you've heard, but that then if that doesn't work to provoke Israel, do another one. And the idea was to provoke Israel into an attack that would upset the world. And so their plan, as far as we've seen now written down in a booklet, was to do just what appears to be the case, which is to provoke Israel.
Well, this has all kind of pushed the Ukraine to the back burner. Where does the United Nations stand with that at the moment?
Well, actually, at 3 p.m. today, there's going to be a Ukraine meeting, mainly because what they want to talk about is also the children. There have been almost 20,000 Ukrainian children taken from Ukraine into Russia during this war. So some of them are orphans, some of them are not. And so 60 Minutes, our 60 Minutes, had last Sunday, and it's really worth watching, how some parents have traveled incredible journeys just to try to get their children back. And we've spoken with some of the children that somehow escaped and got back to Ukraine, and it's terrifying. I mean, imagine that many children just being, a war's going on, they come and take over a town, all of a sudden the kids are all gone. And so that's horrific. And what they say is, when we're looking at all these hostages, look at theirs.
Right. Well, you know, the Ukraine situation is a big debate here in this country because of funding issues. The Congress seems more than willing to fund Israel, but less likely among the Republican side to fund the Ukraine. But it seems to me that they're fighting a proxy war that benefits us. Is there any feeling in the United Nations of how this could be settled quickly at this point, or settled at all?
The UN has come up with a plan. France came up with a plan. So many countries have come up with plans. Oh, and China. It's even hard to follow, but none of them have worked because Russia wants to keep the territories in eastern Ukraine, in the Donbas and Crimea, for themselves in a post-conflict deal. And Ukraine says, no, look, we were brutalized. We need to get back to our sovereign borders, and they need to get out.
Well, out of curiosity, United Nations support, if you could rate it by percentage, like 60% favor Ukraine, 40% favor Russia, what are the odds there in the United Nations?
Well, you've seen a very large group of countries, I mean, 240 at one point, I mean, not 240, 140 out of 193 countries voting in favor of Ukraine on General Assembly resolutions. The problem is they are non-enforceable and things have to go through the Security Council.
Yeah.
So there is a great call for Security Council reform. In other words, change the composition so that Russia cannot nix everything that is offered.
Yeah, I bet they aren't walking out anymore like they did in the 50s.
They
wound up getting something they didn't want. Final question. The United Nations' role in trying to keep emerging situations peaceful, and I'm thinking particularly of the China-Taiwan issue, you know, is there anything the United Nations could or should be doing to resolve this long-standing dispute?
The China-Taiwan is going to have to be done between, as you saw, President Biden and President Xi got together. It's going to have to be done on a world power level because China has always maintained that a one-China policy is what the United Nations has to be involved with. And Taiwan does not have representation, and China gets very upset even if a Taiwan meeting. I mean, once there was a meeting planned, a side event at the United Nations, and China made sure the meeting took place on the steps of the UN, nowhere inside the UN. I mean, it gets that, you know, that narrow, so and petty, but the reality is the UN is only in a position to really be dealing with China and to deal with Taiwan and military threats or anything else. It's probably going to have to be on the world power, on the governance level rather than at the United Nations. That's one that's sort of outside UN ability to deal with it, but there's a lot of questions have been raised. I've been at the UN for a long time, and it's a wonderful organization in terms of refugees and things that the U.S. doesn't want to deal with and other countries can't deal with around the world. And a lot of conflicts in Africa and Asia and Latin America. But now that it's pressed for an international solution to major conflicts, it's not doing very well. And so I think that's what you're starting to see is a real question of who could lead the UN into a more proactive era, and we'll see.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, and thank you for sticking in there at the United Nations, and we're probably going to be yelling for you again to talk to us as things develop. Pamela Falk, thank you so much for taking your valuable time to be with us this morning. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, Joe. And sometime you have to come to UN headquarters and we'll do this broadcast from there.
All right. That would be fun.
It would be fun, right?
They may make us do it on the steps, Pamela.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks a lot.
We'll bring coats.
Yes, amen.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. All right, we're talking to CBS News correspondent Pamela Falk. She's based at the United Nations. She reports for CBS News, radio, television. She's had a lot of experience at the United Nations. I wanted to get that on the air, get her on the air, and we've been trying for a couple of weeks to catch up with her, simply because so many of you have said that the United Nations is worthless. And I thought maybe it would be valuable to hear another opinion one way or the other, and I thought Pamela probably would support the institution, and she does. So the question becomes, is it a good value in today's world? If they can't actually impose their will on these bad situations, what is it that they are doing? All they're doing, apparently, Secretary General Antonio Guterres calls for a humanitarian ceasefire. The Security Council passed a resolution calling for the immediate release of hostages. But nobody's doing anything to stop the conflict or to support Israel and the Palestinians in their desires or trying to find a solution. So we'll take a break, but the phone lines are now open. You don't have to stick with this topic. I just thought it would be interesting to start the program with it. Give us a call at 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but put OTM at the start of your message. And we are brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street in Sunbury and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicle, state inspection, and nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. till 6 p.m., and on Saturdays from 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. They sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles and are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. They're a master towing service with decades of experience. We'll be back right after this break on the Mark.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their Quick Lane, Car and Light Truck Service, Heavy Truck Service, Body Shop, and Frame and Alignment Division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
At Hoopla's Extreme Family Fun Center in Shamokin Dam, the fun is extreme, but the prices aren't. It's all in one place. Mini bowling, trampoline jumping, and the arcade with new and classic games. Children under 5 really love the toddler zone, and the best parties are always at Hoopla's Extreme Family Fun Center. For more info and to book your parties, go online to hooplasextreme.com.
The huge buy one, get one free Hoopla's Extreme Play Cards event is coming to Hoopla's Extreme in Shamokin Dam on Black Friday, November 24th, in-store and online at hooplasextreme.com, and on Cyber Monday, November 27th. Online only at hooplasextreme.com. On these 2 days, purchase $25, $50, and $100 Hoopla's Play Cards. Buy one and get one free. Hoopla's Play Cards are used for gameplay and attractions and cannot be used for food, beverages, or birthday parties. Hoopla's Extreme Family Fun Center, Stettler Avenue, Shamokin Dam. Open Tuesday through Thursday, 4 till 8 p.m. Fridays, noon till 9 p.m. Saturdays, 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. And Sundays, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. We have two callers on the line, and the first one that came through was Van from New Columbia. Van, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Joe. How you doing?
Hanging in there. How about you?
No, real good. Hey, this world right now is looking for a leader to step in and fix the mess we're finding ourselves in with the Middle East and Ukraine. And this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We're seeing, and I know you get upset when people bring up about the Bible and you say, what's a book written that long ago have to do with what's going on right now? Well, everything. Because it would be impossible to have a book written so many years ago. And a lot of the prophecies are over like 25 to 2,700 years old, and some even older than that, that we would come to this point where this whole dispute is about a piece of land that's no bigger than the state of New Jersey.
Right. I agree that that's no bigger than the state of New Jersey. But, I mean, these hostilities have been going on for centuries. And no matter what the Bible says, the people there are fighting it out on today's terms with today's world situation. And, you know, you can't just go back and say to them, well, the Bible says this belongs to you, Israel, so get out of here, Palestinians. It won't work.
Well, the thing of it is, yes, you know, I'll ask you this, Joe, and this will get to my point.
Okay.
If you were to have to describe to a blind man what the blue sky looks like, how could you possibly do that?
Well, it would be rough.
But is there a possible way of doing that?
Well, it would depend on that person's frame of reference. I'd have to know what that person knew, what they did understand, and then maybe I could find some way to relate it to the sky. But without knowing what they know, I can't tell you how I'd do it.
Yeah, well, if someone's born blind, it would be impossible. And the issue I find myself in dealing with people that aren't born again, because the Spirit of God is not dwelling in everybody. And unless you're born again, you don't understand how important the Bible is. God says He's exalted His word even above His name. And God says that not only is that land promised to Israel, it is God's land. And God says in Joel 3:2 that they have parted my land, and God is going to bring judgment against those nations that come against Israel. And believe it or not, you know, it's just we're living in this day and age, but God has told what would have come to pass, and God said it would get to the point where things would be so, there would be such a perplexity among the nations that there's no answers for the problems that are coming. And then there would arise out of the people a man that would be a world leader, and he is called in the Bible the Antichrist.
Right.
And we are literally seeing everything set up to bring in this man, to bring in world peace, and we're watching it happen before our eyes. And when I talk about the Bible, you and along with many others want to just dismiss it out of hand and say, well, what's the Bible have to do with it? Well, beyond just the Bible, it's God. God has everything to do with this, and God told us what was going to happen as we approach the end time, and we're seeing it unfold before our very eyes, and for some reason people are blind and don't see it happening.
All right, but the bottom line to me is that we're dealing with the modern world, and the fact that somebody wrote down in the Bible that God promised this land to the Israelis doesn't mean that in today's world they're going to get it without a fight. And the Israelis are fighting, but they're not even saying this is all ours. They're saying, you know, we were willing to let these people live in peace on part of the land. They're not demanding it all, and apparently they had the right to, according to you.
Right now, I'm the guy that can see the blue sky, and you can't.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain it to you, and you want to say about what's a book. No, it's about God, and the book is God's book. And there's the issue. And Joe, I know, and I don't want to offend you. I want you to understand. I want you to be born again and go get saved so you can go to heaven. Because right now you're not on your way to heaven. You're lost. You're blinded. And, you know, it takes God to open your eyes. You have to be willing to see the truth. And this is so obvious what we're seeing take place right now in the world.
Well,
that it's undeniable that God Himself has told of these things that would come to pass in the last days.
Well, believe it
and
or not,
there
Van,
so many things.
I've had people tell me to go to hell. You're the first one that told me I've actually got a ticket.
Well, we all deserve to go to hell.
Okay.
I'm not telling you that, you know, that I want you to go to hell. I'm telling you I love you and don't want you to go to hell.
Okay.
I want you to understand, but it takes the Spirit of God to open a person's eyes. But if you can't see and admit to what's going on now, if you reject what is obvious to anyone who wants to just looking at the world situation present day, like you want to say, present day, and you look at a book with prophecies over 2,000 years old that told us we come to this point, to reject that and say that means nothing, that to me is being blind.
Okay.
On a level that apparently, if, you know, again, it takes God to open your eyes, but I'm telling you, this whole thing we're seeing happen, I can show you scriptures from a book that is not just a book written by man. It is God's holy word given, and man wrote it down, but God gave them the words to write down so we'd see what's true.
But there's so many different versions of the Bible. How do you know yours is correct?
Well,
there's changes
like
in wording in almost every Bible.
Yeah, but if you understood, and this would take me a long time to explain this to you. We have what's called the Textus Receptus, which is known as the received text. And that book was translated. There was seven versions, so it finally was translated into the King James Version. And God blessed that book more than any book in all history. And there was not a time when the Jews had their Old Testament scriptures, but it was years later till the New Testament scriptures were put together that were in Greek and some Aramaic, but it was put into a text, and it was translated into what we as Bible believers call the Word of God.
Okay.
And the King James Bible.
I'll have to give you the final word. We have about 20 seconds to wrap up. I have another call after taking a break coming up, so go ahead.
Okay, but the King James Bible is truly the Word of God. Every other version compares itself to that one. So the English Bible, and again, some people say, well, what does the rest of the world do? They don't have English. Well, the world's language, most spoken language, is English. Well, what do we do about the Old Testament Hebrew? Well, everyone doesn't speak Hebrew, but God has given us a book, the King James Bible, so we can know the Word
okay.
of God.
All right, man, we have to stop there. We have to stop there. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call, as always. Eric, you've been very patient waiting. You're on the mark, sir.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for taking my call. Interesting caller, interesting points, but I get real concerned when anyone comes through and tells me or you or anyone else that they're going to hell.
Well, as I said, I've been told to go there many times, but he's telling me I got a ticket, so.
And how to go and so forth. And that's and again, there's no message of love in that. There's a message of love. And Christ himself.
I disagree with you. I think Van's a very caring person. We may disagree on certain things, but I don't for a moment doubt his sincerity. Not for a moment.
I don't either. But he doesn't quote all of what Christ himself says, and that's his. My second coming will be like a thief in the night. So if anyone has this all figured out that it's going to happen, according to Christ, you don't.
Okay.
So, but that's not the reason I called. But it kind of in the same vein. So Thanksgiving, you know, we can all give thanks, and you know, I give thanks to a God and Savior Jesus Christ for all I have, but we all need to give thanks to whomever you feel you give thanks to. And we're coming up on a very significant date, which hasn't been a whole lot of play. 1623, Joe? Actual first proclamation of Thanksgiving. November 29th, 1623. We think about that first Thanksgiving meal as 1621. But actually, we're coming up on the 400th anniversary the first proclamation by Governor Bradford in the Massachusetts, Bay Colony,
right?
Of Thanksgiving, and it's 400 years exactly coming up next week.
Well, we should celebrate that.
And do you know why we have Thanksgiving on a Thursday?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
All right, because in the Puritan tradition, they always went to church on a Thursday to hear a midweek message from the pastor. A Thursday morning service was part of their ritual, and they didn't want to come upon the Sabbath, so they had a special Thanksgiving time, and it was done on a Thursday during their midweek service. And then as history progressed, they came up with, okay, let's have a day to give thanks. And each governor would then declare when Thanksgiving was going to be in their state. Of course, it was mostly New England at that point. But there was a different Thanksgiving based upon the time or when the different governors said it was going to be. It wasn't until 1863 that President Lincoln defined Thanksgiving as a national U.S. holiday. And thanks for many things, but also for the governor, for the Union victory at Gettysburg, which saved the Union. And the first Thanksgiving proclamation for the United States was a little over a week after his Gettysburg Address.
Okay. Well, and then he didn't pardon the turkeys either. He killed them and ate them.
I think it's interesting that the pardoning of the turkeys tradition is older than the president is.
I'm sorry, but if I were the president of the United States, those suckers would be baked and ready for dinner.
there's a tradition. And the last thing, because I know I'm running out of time. Thanksgiving itself ended up being a national debate back in the early 40s. President Roosevelt at the time tried to move Thanksgiving, traditional Thanksgiving, move it up a week so it would then stimulate the economy for more spending for Christmas. So he tried to put a proclamation he was going to move Thanksgiving for the whole nation up a week to expand. And there was a rebellion by half the states. Okay. Guess which states rebelled?
Well, you tell me.
All the Republican states.
Okay. Well,
all the red states said, you can't do that. We're not doing that. And then all the Democratic states following the president's. So that year we had, I think it was 1940 before the war. And it wasn't until, I think, 42 or 43 that finally Congress got together as a unity and declared the fourth Thursday of Thanksgiving, of November, as the official U.S. celebration of Thanksgiving, and has been that date ever since.
Well, I thank you for that history lesson, and quite frankly, my major concern this year was getting Cope's dried corn again, and it's out on the market. I've got some. So thanks a lot, Eric. Appreciate your call.
We all need to give thanks, Joe, and that's the important thing.
I'm giving thanks for my corn. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate your call.
Have a good one.
Take care. I'm sorry. Stan, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Did you hear the other day the dog whistle coming from the Democrats? Especially particular Dan Goldman from the 10th District of New York. He's a congressman.
Well,
he's saying that Trump has to be eliminated. Did you hear that? He was on Jen Psaki's show on MSNBC.
He said he has to be eliminated.
Has to be eliminated.
Now, did he put other words after that, or did he put a period?
Not much. No, he was talking in general. He has to be eliminated. He's talking, I'm sure. He was talking about from political discourse and from the politics, but, you know, that's how it was put. He needs to be eliminated. He has to be eliminated. So to the radical people, the crazies on the Democrat side, what's that? That could put the president in danger, don't you think? The ex-president in danger? Secret Service should be looking into that, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, did it put anybody in danger when Trump said to go down there and fight like hell at the Capitol?
No.
I'm
he
saying
said
if words
to go
matter.
Peacefully and patriotically, make your voices heard.
And he said to go down there and fight like hell, too.
That was long before because, you know, the Democrats and Republicans always put, we got to fight for what we want in their speeches, correct?
Right. Well, we're always fighting. Football teams fight.
Right.
Go out there and fight.
But the last words from Trump were, go peacefully and patriotically and let your voices be heard. That was the last words he said, not the first words.
But yet a judge has found him as a participant in an insurrection.
But that judge, yeah. And when, what court has he been charged? In what court has he been convicted of such a charge?
Well,
that's right, none. So we have a judge who's an activist that makes these things up without a whole cloth. Which is, speaking of, the idiot in New York, the judge, you know, he rules, didn't even have a court case, but he found Trump liable for whatever he's being charged with, business fraud, blah, 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 blah. No trial, no due process, he's just guilty. Now we're going to do what the penalty phase. That's what this is all about now going on in court. So what kind of justice system do we have in this country?
Well, first of all, New York law doesn't permit a jury trial for this type of offense. So there was no choice.
But we had no trial.
No, it's a bench trial. That's what it's called.
Joe.
Stand.
He made the determination that Trump was liable and guilty of fraud.
And that's what
he does.
Before
there was a trial.
But that's what the judge does.
Oh, does he?
In a bench trial. Well,
where was the evidence? Where was the due process? Where was the defense side in that? Right now there's defense because now they're talking about penalty phase.
But there's no penalty at the moment. There might be nothing. It might be a dollar. It might be nothing.
They're talking about he's already convicted. And he had no due process in that conviction.
Well, that's not
See,
the way I read it, so maybe I missed something.
What's-her-face up there brought the charges to the court and says he's guilty. And the judge says, yeah, he's guilty. But there was no due process. Now they're having the penalty phase of the trial, of the, quote, trial. That's what's going on. So he'd been convicted with no due process. He wasn't in the court. There was no...
Well, he was in the court. He was Come there forward. Many days.
He has been in the penalty phase, not the first phase, when the judge declared that he was being fraudulent business practices.
Okay, but there's been a lot of testimony about his fraudulent business practices. You saying that was
has
invalid?
There?
Yes.
When? Recently?
No, in that trial in New York, people that are associated with him came forward and said that he did stuff that was wrong. So what do you?
Did they?
Yes, they did.
But there was about something else. It wasn't about this. What it is now?
Well, that was this trial.
It was a directed verdict.
They were on the stand.
Well, anyways, whatever. You know, he's being railroaded, but that's a whole other thing. But so, you know, the dog whistle of the Democrats that eliminated him, you know, so I believe that puts his life in danger. Because if a Republican had said that about Biden, you know what would be happening. Secret Service would be knocking on your door.
Oh, I agree.
Right?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and they should be. Because, you know, it's not eliminated. Yeah, he needs to be removed from office, but through the political means in an election. That's my opinion. Now, the other thing, the Army's going back begging people that were booted out of the military. Well, not just the Army, I think the other services too, but the military. They're begging for the soldiers to come back there because they refused to get vaccinated. They booted them with less than honorable discharges. So now they're begging them to come back. Oh, you can come back, and we'll change your discharge designation, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. When you have somebody that is that disloyal to the people that are willing to put their life on the line, I'm thinking that most people will say, stick it where the sun don't shine.
Well,
that's what I'd tell them.
Actually, this is not the penalty phase of the trial. Ergeron ruled in September that Trump did engage in fraud by inflating the value of his assets. But the ongoing trial now is focused on other allegations, including that Trump and others falsified business records and committed insurance fraud, as well as on the financial bill the defendants could face.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the penalty phase.
That's right. That's right. The expert real estate judge, he's setting property values now. Yeah, I heard that, because he doesn't think Mar-a-Lago is worth more than $18 million.
Now, I have no idea.
Me being a non-real estate professional knows better than that.
Look, I think the way the game is played, to be honest with you, I think this trial is a farce. That's my personal opinion. And I think it's a farce because everybody knows that real estate values fluctuate up and down based on what somebody's trying to prove. I don't think Donald Trump, if they went after Letitia James, went after 25 other developers in New York, she'd probably find the same thing. Although her interest in doing that is zero because that doesn't get her campaign contributions and another, another thing on her chest.
She's as corrupt as the day is long. She ran for office on getting Trump.
Yes, she did.
She's just crooked. She's crooked, crooked, crooked all day long. Now, the other thing, we had the J6 tapes released, okay?
Yeah, we're going to have to give you another 30 seconds, then I got to take a break. Go ahead.
All right, J6 tapes released. Now I'm waiting for the Jeff Epstein Black Book customer list and the tapes from Lolita Island, or his child rape island, to be released, because they have them.
That would be exciting.
You all have a great day.
You too, Stan.
What do you think that? Yeah. About one of the Democrats exposed. Have a good one. Bye.
You too, sir. Thank you. 570-743-9565. Our hotlines are open. We've got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Do you suffer from deliviphobia? Fear of online grocery shopping? Try Giant Direct. With great prices, specially trained shoppers, and no hidden fees. Have no fear with Giant Direct.
Save this week on sweet potatoes. 49 cents per pound with digital coupon.
You check your phone, thermostat, and weather often. But the most important check of all should be yourself. COVID is still out there, but boosters against the latest variants are available. Find out where and how to get up to date at checkyourselfcentralpa.com.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. The hotlines are open, 570-743-9565. It's our hotline number. Email us at onthemark, as several people have done, or text us at 70236. Our friend Tom, continuing with yesterday's show, he suggested possible vice president picks for Donald Trump. He has more suggestions to offer this morning. Trump possible picks include Tommy Tuberville, Steve Bannon, John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, Jeffrey Clark, Louis Gombert, Dan Amuser, as he calls him, Ted Cruz, all Proud Boys and Oath Keepers members, all Freedom Caucus members, Charlie Manson, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Dan Bongino, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Peter Navarro, and on and on and on. Well, somebody suggested, Tom, that you might be a good candidate for his vice president, too, so we'll keep that in mind. One of our emailers says, while Biden continues to push for government failure with open borders, bankrupting us, fueling wars with money on both sides, Russia and the Ukraine, Iran and Christianity, and China and the world, we need conservative policies, and we need them now. Another emailer says, they have been released. Yes, yes, yes. The truth will come out about how the left is covering up and attacking conservatives. Thank you, Speaker of the House. I guess that relates to those hearings that are going to be held. And then another emailer says, the judge made a statement that they believe he is guilty. Also, stop believing in the bought and paid-for media headlines that are also debunked in the end after the corrupt media runs the story for days. After the corrupt media runs the story for days. There we go. We got it. Okay. And let's see. Is that it? Yep. I think that covers all of our emails, and we don't have any text to do, and the phone lines are open, 570-743-9565. I think one of the most interesting things going on, and, you know, we talk a lot about Donald Trump and his legal travails, and we've had guests from CBS on a couple of times to talk about the legal difficulties the president finds himself in. Yet he continues to lead the Republican field. And the new numbers that are out show an even more startling result with Donald Trump. And even the mainstream media is forced to report on it, like this report from CNN's data reporter. He is a very interesting guy with some very interesting statistics this morning.
So I know you always come armed with facts and figures. So just how unusual is it for an incumbent president to be trailing at this point?
Yeah, me coming armed with facts and figures and historical pieces of data, I never do that, Paul. Never, ever, ever. But as a matter of fact, I have this one time anyway. Look, if you go back over the last 80 years, go all the way back to FDR, what do you see? You see there, in fact, have only been two incumbent presidents at this particular point in time who have actually trailed for re-election at this point since 1943. One of those, I think, is fairly familiar given the last slide. That was Donald Trump back in 2020. He, of course, went on to lose. But Joe Biden is just the second president at this point to be trailing for re-election. The average incumbent, in fact, leads by a little bit more than 10 percentage points. So this is extremely unusual to find a president trailing by any margin, even one that's, say, 2 or 3 percentage points on average, as we saw in that first slide.
Okay, well, Biden just won 3 years ago. So what are the big reasons that he's now trailing?
Yeah, I would say it comes down to age. You know, it's age in one way. It's age in the fact that voters overwhelmingly believe he's too old to be effective as president. We had a recent New York Times Siena College poll that found that about 70% of likely voters, in fact, said that, very different from 4 years ago when that number was about half. But it's also age in another way. It's age if you look within the electorate and see where Joe Biden has lost support. Take a look at voters under the age of 35. This is the margin, Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. 4 years ago, Joe Biden won these voters overwhelmingly. He won them by over 20 percentage points. Look at where he is now. Now, he's still ahead of Donald Trump, but he's only ahead by 5 points. And, of course, elections are all about margins. When you look throughout the different age groups, you see essentially that Joe Biden's margins are actually holding amongst the older voters, but younger voters have been swinging away from him. And if this ends up being the margin on election day, it would be the smallest margin for a Democratic candidate among voters under the age of 35 since I was actually eligible to vote. So that's how long it's been. Donald Trump would absolutely take this. I may be young, Paula, but I ain't that young.
Absolutely. Donald Trump would take it. So that was CNN's Henry Eaton, who is their political analyst for polls. And at the same time, NBC political correspondent Steve Kornacki sounded the alarm on a new NBC poll that showed former President Trump beating President Biden in a hypothetical general matchup for the first time in the NBC poll's history. Trump came out ahead of Biden in another general election matchup poll at 46%, with 44% supporting the president. Kornacki pointed to the additional poll results and said that Biden has long had an advantage over Trump in likability, but according to NBC's latest results, that's now tied. Now tied. How about that? All right, we have one call on the line, one coming in. We've got to take our last break of the day, and we'll get to the calls in just a moment on the Mark. This is WKOK Sunbury.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Today, everything seems like it's constantly changing. And just like the rest of the world, today's housing market is also changing. Whether you're buying or selling, you need an agent who can make sense of all those changes and market fluctuations to guide you through the process with a steady and helpful hand. Hi, this is Larry Johnson, president of the Bowen Agency Realtors, and we've been helping you find your perfect place for almost 50 years. That's why folks have voted us the best real estate agency in the Valley for 7 years straight. Working with one of our highly trained and knowledgeable agents to buy and sell your home saves you time, money, and gives you the best results possible. We know what's important to you, and we always provide all the details you need. Remember, our team of realtors is the most trusted in the market. We have the most up-to-date and extensive housing listings along with the most valued commercial properties. Coming or going, trust the talent at Bowen. Come see us in Selins Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg, or online at bowenagency.com.
Welcome back to On the Mark. We have one caller on the line, and that might wrap us up for the day. Dan, you are on the mark from New Berlin. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Joe. You know, it's great to hear that Trump's so far ahead in the polls, but like Stan said, they may try to eliminate him in any way they can, which is a real disgrace. But, you know, and I'm thankful, this Thanksgiving time, I'm thankful for that. And you know,
thankful for what? That they're going to try to eliminate Trump?
No, that he's ahead, and we have America might stand a little chance to recover. You know, that's what I'm thankful for that at this Thanksgiving time. And sometimes we don't realize that who's on our side, and Trump is on our side, and. And we don't see that. He's for the people. And, you know, it's like Van's on your side, and I'm on your side. You may fail to see that, but we love you, and we love you that much that we would take a chance on the radio of being cut off or whatever.
I haven't cut anybody off.
But we care about you, and Van did a great job of explaining some things there. And I don't. I have at this Thanksgiving time the most thankful thing I'm for is my salvation, that I know where I'm going when I die. And that's my most thankful thing. I'm thankful for forever.
Well, we got to go, Dan. Thank you so very much for calling. And apparently I know where I'm headed to as well. But I know I'll be back here tomorrow, good Lord willing, on the mark. And we invite you to join us then. Brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. This is WKOK Sunbury.